welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
I'm Ray.
And I'm slowly coming to the realization we're never going to get this right. We really should talk about it.
I was going to tell you before that started, I'm like, can we work on the order of like, yeah. Should we keep no, it like OG or something new? Like,
so anyway, we're professionals.
I forgot that I'm second because I'm not in the physical room. The rotation confuses me a bit. My bad.
Yeah, we fucked up the order so many times.
I think it's Bobby. He's like, let's see what these idiots do this time.
No. Well, while I was setting everything else up, I thought, hey, maybe we should clarify who's going to go first, second, third, and fourth here. But then I forgot.
Well, when Emilio did the nudge, I was like, okay, I'll say it. But I had a feeling she was about to do it. Mm. So I just, because we can't nudge her.
Either way, here we are.
Still better than last week.
Hey, we got a video game podcast, guys. How are we doing out there in podcast land?
Who?
What?
I'm just talking to the audience, man.
There's people that still listen to this?
Yeah.
What?
They're still hanging around.
That's numbers crazy. Are way up since you've left.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. That's why I left. to benefit you guys.
Yeah.
A few things. So first of all, we forgot to shout out our subs from last week. So thank you, Nick, for gifting 5 subs.
He gifted me.
Yeah.
It was random.
It's random.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He gifted me and I'm like, dude, I have the Twitch thing.
Also, JD Constriction, 21 months.
Damn.
He's up there, man.
Yep.
That's awesome, JD.
He is up there. And Voxamagak. Kind of a big deal is what he goes by on Discord.
Oh, yeah.
10 months. And we got a new Patreon. Patron. Nick, a.k.a. Bitsis.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Patron.
Who's going to step up and start our OnlyFans, though?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's whip out our dicks and see who has
No. So I was thinking, what if you do an OnlyFans? It's just your feet. You know what I mean?
You could.
Do you guys have nice feet? No. I'm not going to ask about your feet.
I have nice feet.
We could do feet in that case. That's for sure.
Oh, my God.
They would definitely pay for cheese Asian feet, for sure.
I feel like there's a lot of people on the podcast that would pay for cheese anything.
I have like Asian hobbit feet. There's a reason why they wanted to, you know, bend my feet in half.
Oof.
Yikes. Maybe that'll be a tier on our Patreon.
She shows her feet.
Maybe that should be like an emoji on the chat, just feet. That'll probably be there faster than my emoji that never happened.
Wait, you don't... No, I guess you didn't.
You guys never made the basic beanie. I saw it on the server where like I think you started working on it, and then you never...
Why? No, it's still on there.
Is it static? Is it me?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
You got it in the red.
Yeah, I'm in the red.
It's because you're yelling.
Bring it down a little bit. Yeah, no, it's there. A rough version of it. But
my beanie is upstairs in my bag, actually.
Another thing that we've got to mention is next week is going to be our
end of the year.
Yep, end of the year, game of the year episode. We are going to forego the usual format, and we are just going to have several categories where we're going to be talking about our picks for... the different categories, but the big thing is we're going to be having listeners submit either written or a recording what their game of the year is, and we'll be playing all those on the episode. We've already opened that up to our patrons, to our supporters, but this week we are going to be opening it up to everybody. So if you want to tell us what your game of the year is, you can either write it or record it. You can go to our Discord and instructions will be there.
In the about section, probably, right?
Yeah, that'll be in the about section where all the important news is.
I actually saw one of Nick's responses, and I want to change my response over to his, because I feel the same way now that I realize that option was there, but I can't do it because I would just be a sorry copycat.
Spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more on
that
next
week. Spoilers. One category.
I wanted it'd be cool if someone had, like, the worst game, sold it to you as in like and made such a great video that made it the best game of the year by
convinced.
Yeah, so just like convince someone how great but how shitty the game is. That'd be kind of cool to do.
Yeah,
you mean everybody who installed and played Cyberpunk 2077?
What are you talking about? That game's great. All right, it's amazing. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's great.
Tell the console players that.
I know, poor dude. I don't know if you guys, I guess you guys have talked about it so much, but. Mm-hmm. It's Like, I read all those reviews. I read all this stuff online. I'm like, what is everyone talking about? The game runs great. I'm running, like, at least at 60 frames per second. Like, ultra. I have a 3090. So, it looks great. But and then, like, twice I've crashed. And it was just like, oh. And then I started up again. And I was exactly back to where.
And no game-breaking bugs?
No, nothing yet. Yeah, so I've been good.
Lucky.
Are you sure we're all playing the same game in that case?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm kind of scared. Ah, oh, there was a thing.
There was a thing.
Oh, yeah. That's the icon right there.
We're talking about a Ray's
emoji that never happened.
Yeah.
I love it. It was so good.
He looks like a ginger, though.
I know. I do kind of look ginger.
He's lighter skin than I am.
Yeah. A little. Have you seen my ass? It's white as fuck.
Yeah.
My penis is pink.
The other thing we got going on this week, the pink python. The other thing we got going on this this week is the Fantasy Critics game. Fantasycritic.games is the website. Sniper put together a fantasy league for video games coming out this year. I'm sure throughout the year coming out, you know, maybe quarterly, we'll talk about it. But basically, depending on how the Open Critic works, you get points on your team, blah blah blah. There's trades and pickups, and you can pick somebody else's team to do poorly, and so we'll see how this goes. Mm-hmm. Let's go down our list, Bobby, or mine and yours.
Of what the games that we picked?
Yeah.
All right, sure. But he's going to have to increase the size on that. So basically, it's a fantasy league with video games, but it's not based off the money they make. It's based off the Open Critic score. So the higher the ratings, the more points you get. So some interesting strategies here. Let's see. The games that I ended up getting were Hollow Knight, Silk Song.
That's good.
That's, you know, that's based on Hollow Knight 1, which got like 99s and shit.
Yeah. Now, the only thing that's risky about that game is it's a TBA. May not come out next year. Betting it will, though. We'll see. Axiom Verge 2. High hopes for that game. Mm-hmm. Kena, Bridge of Spirits. Shin Megami Tensei. I just picked a lot of like Asian RPG games. I'm like, those do well, right?
You're going to do terribly, dude.
And then Hogwarts Legacy.
That'll show.
You're going to have the worst score of the year.
Hogwarts is going to tank you, guaranteed.
No.
You're going to have the worst really scores, good. Dude.
That's kind of the wild card. We'll see.
I went with Age of Empires 4, which everybody was like, whoa, dude, just because like there's no guarantee it's going to come out. But I have the option.
Well, you see, my theory with that is Age of Empires 4, everybody's been playing Age of Empires games for like 25 years. If there's one bug or one little thing people don't like, then it's going to be a huge deal and the ratings are going to tank. Now, Open Critic, if I'm correct, that takes just the scores of legitimate outlets, right? Like it's not just review user reviews, right? Yeah,
I think so.
I don't know. I stayed away from a lot of big titles because
I was
that.
Just reading an article yesterday that like it's super playable right now. Like one of the creators has been like, yeah, I've been playing for a year and a half and it's been playable for a year.
I wonder why they're waiting. Now was the time.
Because it's one of those games like Bobby's saying, if there's a bug that really fucks up the game.
So
that's RTS games, man.
Psychonauts 2, you know, if it's even close to the first one, then we're in good shape. Nier Replicant.
Version 1.2478. Yeah.
Ray said that the first one did well, so I'm guessing the first. Then everyone seems to like New World, so I put my eggs in that
basket. One's risky, because it's an MMO.
You son of a bitch. You're such a son of a bitch.
Dude, I called it. I knew that Sniper was going to pick it next, because his previous pick had already been picked.
But why would you? I mean, that's like coming from Amazon Studios after Crucible.
Because everybody that likes it, everybody that plays it likes it. And that's rare.
Yeah, but releasing an MMO in 2021, I mean, I don't know.
Have you do well?
Have you brought up that, like, I don't know if you have in the other podcast, but how, like, Sniper is, like, your Jamie?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, okay,
He's our producer.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's why we, he only speaks when spoken to.
Yeah.
Right, bitch? I did that for the joke, dude. I did it for the joke. Harvest Moon. It's going to be good, right?
It should be.
I had no idea that this Harvest Moon was coming out. And to be honest, I haven't had any enthusiasm for official Harvest Moon title for years and years. Okay. And I can honestly say their so-called first-party releases have not been good Harvest Moon games.
Yeah, so I was
worried for you.
I was gonna tell. Okay, so remember when
you guys have some big tankers in there?
Remember when you showed it to me, and I'm like, oh, that's probably good. And then I went on Metacritic, and started looking through some of them. I'm like 68.
Ooh, maybe I'll drop it.
I was like,
way to deflate my balloon, Chi.
Can you show me Snipers or somebody with a good lift?
I mean, they have good shit. Yeah.
Well, what you got to keep in mind is this is being picked in like one at a time. So it's not like you just get to pick whatever you want.
Dude, Boyfriend Dungeon is going to be 100 out of 100 on Open Critic.
I think that is such a troll pick.
I feel like Bobby's is pretty safe. Wait, was that auto pick though? Or was it you?
Let me see.
No. I had my auto draft on, which means beforehand I had selected in order.
Okay. Oh, no. Can I see Scrams? He has a second list. Hmm. Breath of the Wild 2, easy win.
That might not even come out next year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this year.
But you can drop two and pick up two. Okay.
Didn't Little Nightmares come out already?
That's two, part two.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't it come out already?
No.
God of War Ragnarok. Also, like, win, like, easy victory card. Yeah. There are some really good titles on there. Games I forget that are coming out in 2021. Nice reminders. Are you guys going to link this in the Discord or something so we can kind of keep track of it, too?
I don't know how public it is. We do have a channel for it in Discord, so I don't know if other people can view it.
I was able to view it before signing in, so I would imagine so.
Yeah. I put the public link in the Discord so people can follow, because it also is kind of cool to track what games are coming out when. Like, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
What is the buy-in for this?
Nothing. We're just doing it for fun. For funsies.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
Bragging rights, obviously. That's invaluable.
Sniper, you're not mad at me, are you? I'm still feeling bad about that one.
About New World?
No, calling him a bitch.
Oh.
I could never stay mad at you. But I did promise that the podcast would buy the winner $100 game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So there are some. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Good thing there's no $100 game, suckers.
Yeah, right. That Back for Blood bundle is going to be $100.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you get the gamers like ultimate edition or whatever. Yeah, that's true. You can do that.
Cool. Let's start our show.
Yep. Let's talk about some games here. Who wants to go first?
I got to go first. I got Anime Stranding, buddy.
Anime?
Yeah. Anime? Did I spell that wrong?
You put anime, bro.
Oh.
Anime, yeah.
Put Anime Stranding.
Anime Stranding.
Buddy.
It's maybe the worst game I've played in like 3, 4, or 5 years. It's terrible.
Yeah, this looks bad.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The main character looks like so Naruto bad. And Hinata's child.
So it's obviously ripping off Death Stranding here.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean,
but way better.
Only in the boxes and the running through the wilderness and the raining, the rain, I guess.
Stacking ridiculous amounts of boxes on top of you.
Yep, and
this looks like gold.
This is what you do, and there's nothing. There's nothing out there. Okay, so you're a hot anime chick, I guess. So you're a waifu. You just pick up boxes and take them to the next thing. It's really bad. I really try to give it a shot, and it's terrible.
Why?
It would be a good game.
Somebody bought it for me. That's why I sent it over.
If that were a chat room lobby with tasks, with objectives.
Oh my God, that's a nipple.
That's a nipple, dude.
Yep.
Wow. Go back.
Technically, it's an areola. What was I going to say? Oh, the only thing that is, I guess it's worth bringing up is all around the game, there's people's comments they can leave, kind of like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And you can read them, and then you can give it a like or a down.
Which you can do in Death Stranding as well.
Oh.
So somebody bought this game for 59 cents. Well, that's the Canadian price. So they probably paid
49 cents.
49 cents, and you played it just because of that. Now, you need to have a higher barrier to entry than 50 cents.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. I'm done with that one.
That looks awesome.
Yikes. Well, I mean, I did play Death Stranding this week. Thank you again, Morconius, for getting that game for me. That was very nice and very thoughtful. Like, that was probably the best game to get for me. I think he knows me better than I know myself, because I actually really did enjoy this game. I did find enough time to sit down and actually play it for a long period of time, a solid 4 hours. So I was able to kind of take the game at its own pace. And yeah, it does really build up very slowly with a lot of cutscenes, and it's very cinematic. It's like a movie. And I kind of enjoyed it because it was actually done well. It was done better than most games do it. It was actually pretty interesting how, you know, most games, they just kind of do a standard, like, over-the-shoulder, two-shot, people talking, maybe cut back and forth between the two, and, like, that's it. That's your cutscene. And this, it got very cinematic. The camera was moving around a lot. You could tell some thought went into the composition of it.
Well, you got Hideo and Guillermo in that, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of big names involved in this. And then, of course, the main character, played by Norman Reedus. And it played out just like the beginning of a movie with opening credits. Too, which I've seen games do, but this did it for a very long time. But this is a very weird game. It's very lyrical. Like, it's very it's not really grounded.
Is there another definition of lyrical that I don't know?
It sings to you?
Yeah, yeah, lyrical, like kind of like poetic, speaking to emotion. Okay. A little more abstract.
Oh, I see.
Because the plot of this game is, it's kind of in, I guess, a post-apocalyptic future. These ghosts have kind of appeared and started killing everybody, and it sucks up their souls. So if there's a dead body, then they come and they suck that up, and they can cause this huge explosion that can, like, just destroy an entire area. So it's, like, incredibly risky to go out or to be seen. And they have these people that run across and deliver supplies. And there's all these weird things that you learn about. Like, everybody's seen the bridge babies, the little babies and, mm-hmm, like, the things. Mm-hmm. And they don't explain that until, like, hours into it. You then find out.
Holy shit, you've played for hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't really play this game in short bits, which is why I've only played it once so far, like, 1 4-hour spurt. So I'm not very far into the game at all.
Yeah.
I really kind of have yet to get into the actual gameplay loop.
No, I mean think. That I'm surprised that you liked it enough to continue that, mm-hmm, far into it.
Yeah.
No, especially with, it starts with 30 minutes of exposition, which you hate.
I mean, there's a little bit, yeah, but it was done well. And that's the thing. Like, games, I don't know. Games are graded on a curve when it comes to that stuff. People are just like, oh, yeah, it's great. I'm like, no, it's not really.
Like, have you ever played, like, a Metal Gear game?
Only one of them.
They all have that really long cinematic, like, movie opener, mm-hmm, scenes. Well, and then the game starts.
The only one that I played was the really short one. And I watched a lot. I watched a friend play a lot of 4. And 4 was, like, a big deal because that's when it kind of, the gameplay and the cutscenes kind of bled together.
I think 4 has a 2-hour cutscene in one part of the game.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was kind of like the end of Solid Snake or something, if I remember correctly. Like, he had the gray hair, and it was, like, kind of a big deal. I remember the game being a real big deal. And I watched a lot of that. I didn't play any of it, but I watched friends play it.
You played the prologue before 5.
Yeah,
that's what Ray had you play.
Yeah, yeah. It was a prologue. It was before 5. Yeah,
yeah. And they didn't really do the gameplay or the cutscenes very much on that. There's a little bit of it, and you're kind of thrown into the story. But I understood, like, oh, this is the gameplay loop. Like, you go in, you kind of stealth, you take out people, you achieve these objectives, you make your escape. I'm like, okay, I kind of get, like, what the gameplay is, but I know that's a very small portion of it, and it was pretty fun.
The Bridge Babies is where you were at before I interrupted.
Oh, the Bridge Babies. Yeah. So they kind of explain what those are, and it's kind of this weird thing that I guess kind of makes sense, but it's really all over the place. But I don't know. There's just, you don't usually see games done this well. And this is a very, I can totally see how people were divided on it because it's a very different kind of game. Like, really all you're doing is running from one location to the other, transporting goods. And there's a lot of dialogue, but what I didn't realize, it's kind of like one of those physics games, like Spin Tires. I don't know. Did you ever play Spin Tires? Or Spin Tires was that game where you're driving a truck through, like, mud, and it's very, very, like, supposedly realistic physics. So you can get stuck very easily. You got to, like, figure out how to get out or cross this certain area or traverse this terrain. So it's like that. As you're running, your character can stumble and fall very easily.
Okay.
Even if you're walking over difficult terrain. So it's not as easy as... Oh, go ahead, Chi.
It's like a commuting simulator, in a sense, because I know we always make jokes about, especially when with Battle Royale or larger games, we would just call them walking simulators because so much playtime goes into walking or just going from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Nothing really happening, but when something does happen, you know, potentially like a gunfight in a Battle Royale, does Death Stranding have that appeal to it, even though there is a lot of time in the commute. Is there enough to stimulate?
Like when something does happen, it's like, holy shit.
No, no. See, this, and this is where I was totally confused. And when I played the game, I realized it right away. And I was actually surprised that nobody had ever really explained this to me. And I'm going to do my best to explain it to you guys. So hopefully you don't understand if you haven't played this game. But I really do compare it to Spin Tires, because it's like you have to. When you call something a walking simulator, or like most video games, you're used to just pressing the W key, maybe holding down shift, and you run, and you just run forward, you hop off a rock, you know, maybe there's fall damage so you don't fall too far, but you're used to just like, you take it for granted. You just zip across the map. And this one, no, you really got to look and see, oh, there's some jagged rocks there, like little tiny rocks, like, oh, got to be careful there. Am I carrying a lot of stuff on my back? Yeah, I've got to be even more careful. I press the right mouse button to lean right. If I'm falling left, press the left mouse button. Damn, and lean the
you're
other
actively
direction.
Balancing.
Yeah. The entire time that you're traversing the terrain, you're doing something. You're playing this little mini game of trying to balance yourself and not fall down. You can stop and kind of hold your position to regain balance. If you're trying to cross a stream, that's a whole nother thing. Like if you're trying to cross water. So when you look at this game, and it's really easy to just say, oh, you just run a package to an area. And a lot of games do that, but this one, you actually have to work for it. You're fighting for every little step. You come across enemies that you have to kind of stealth around, or that can be even more difficult because you're still trying to keep your balance and do everything else. Oh, yeah, and there's this rain that if you get touched by it, it turns you old. It's super weird. I mean, it's a Hideo Kojima game or whatever.
So you got to hide from the rain all the time?
You have a jacket you put over, but then your gear gets damaged if it takes... too much of a beating from this rain. Time warp. They got a name. Time fall. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. But it's just all these weird things that are just at play like that. Like it's just like, how about we have rain that turns people old? Like, okay, that's super out there, but then they totally weave it into a story that you're kind of invested in a little bit.
Ooh, sounds like Bobby's fucking starting to like his first Hideo game.
I'm enjoying it. I mean, I've never really played any of the Metal Gear Solid games. Mostly because they were on console for the longest time. They're just console games. And
there's actually rumors that Hideo might be working again on Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's what Nick's been talking about for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Gee, what were you going to say?
Fuck you, Nick.
Well, I was going to ask another question. Since it is a lot of movement, are you using the controller or mouse and keyboard?
Oh, no, I'm using mouse and keyboard, definitely.
The only time you would...
How is that panning out versus what you might think it's meant to be interpreted with a controller?
It does feel like it was kind of meant for a controller. There's really only one button. I can't remember what it is, but I'm like, huh, that's a little awkward. That feels like it was an afterthought when they put it on PC, but it's not really a problem. I mean, you use the left and right mouse buttons to balance yourself, and that's about
it. How do you attack?
I haven't really reached that point of the game yet, like any sort of combat.
Wow.
So, like I said, I'm 3.5-4 hours into it, so I've got a long ways to go. But I definitely see why this game was so popular. Not even popular, but why it was kind of critically acclaimed, because I have not played anything like this, you know. And that's what I always look for in a game, like something that's new and innovative. And this is it, and it's so weird because it looks and it sounds so simple and so boring. But then when you actually play it, you're like, okay, like you're into it for some reason.
Well, Konius is sitting at home creaming his panties right now, dude. He's so happy that you liked it.
Yeah. Well,
who sent it to you?
Was
it
him? Yeah. And that's good, especially in the early stages of a video game, because if you're not capturing the player in the first couple of hours, first couple of minutes, you could easily lose them, like most video games do with me. So that was my Cyberpunk equation, virtually. Whatever content that game potentially has, they already lost me in the first four hours.
How did you lose Cyberpunk? How did that work? Was it just so buggy that you just couldn't play?
It wasn't necessarily that. I would definitely say I didn't make it through the prologue. I got tired of my character's voice, so I kind of re-rolled as well. I'm glad I re-rolled, though, because I like the street kid background a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And so I'm re-rolled as a male V, and I felt like as I was out in the open world, I should have probably focused on the main missions, but I was getting sidetracked constantly, and just getting sidetracked and not really feeling like any of my actions really meant much or were very rewarding at all, maybe because I wasn't on the main mission line. But I remember specifically walking to the clothing store, at least hoping to get one piece of loot that would have been worth it. And then looking at all of the loot, it was all trash. And I was like, the clothing store isn't even good in this game. What's the point of even?
They never are. Vendors never have good shit. You always get the good shit from quests.
Yeah, see, I learned that and I was like, wow, so this game is this big, but I'm literally wasting my time checking out like these certain areas. So I was like, I'm going to take a step back and like when I'm really in the mood to play and invest myself in this single player game, then I'm going to do it, because it was just it was good, but not to the point where it's like, and especially during the holidays where like we have to socially distance and whatnot, I've been more focused on playing social games versus single player games as well.
I'm just waiting for it to, for all the optimization and everything, the game of the year edition or the enhanced edition to come out. I bought it, but I'm just going to wait for it to update and get a few more patches under its belt. As far as figuring out whether or not you'd like something in the first few minutes, Ray was over here all day, so we he had to kill some time. He was waiting for his girlfriend, so I was like, "Oh, let me get some couch co-op games." So I fucked up. I bought three games. I bought Wreckfest, which I thought was couch co-op, but it wasn't. So I haven't played that. Another one that I got was called Just Shapes and Beats. It's overwhelmingly positive on Steam with like.
I don't know why.
I hear about this a lot in a IRC chat that I'm in. People love this game.
You still use IRC?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do.
Really? Still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I used to use that to download, like, music.
Yeah. It's if you're concerned about privacy, then, yeah, it's kind of the way to go.
But, yeah.
Why are you concerned about privacy?
Don't worry about it, dude. None of your business. I just don't like the government in my shit, all right?
International man.
Do you have a phone?
Yeah.
You're fucked, dude.
Yeah, pretty much.
So this is a rhythm game, but it's couch co-op. And, well, no, it's not a rhythm game. It presents itself as a rhythm game, but it's not.
Yeah, no.
So usually in a rhythm game, you are interacting with the music somehow, usually staying on beat or staying within parameters or whatever. And this... the song is playing. This is the way that I explained it to Ray. What it made me feel like is like back in the day when you're using like a music player on your PC, you could use a visualizer, right?
Like
and
Winamp.
Yeah. And it would go
drop and Winamp.
Yeah. And then so you're basically a visualizer is going off and with all kinds of shit going off. And you're a tiny little speck. You're a little shape. And you fly around and dodge all the music that's happening on the screen. And there definitely are some fun parts. Like, if the music is good and the level design for it is good, then you have a crazy good time. Like, it's fun. But it's so hit and miss. Because if the music's good but the level's not good, then it's not good. Mm-hmm. If the level's good but the music's not good, then it goes on and on. So every once in a while, you get that perfect one where, like, it's all right there. What'd you feel?
Right. I thought it was very, very... very fucking hard. First of all,
yeah,
it was very hard where I was just getting mad at it. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to, because you know, he bought the game, so I didn't want to be the guy that'd be like, this fucking sucks, can we play something else?
Yeah.
Because maybe he was a little bit more invested than I was.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, fuck this, like, I don't want to play this anymore. And then once I started getting better at it, I was like, okay, I'm liking this. Okay, this is cool. And then it stopped being hard because we got like the hang of it. And then we would start finding little techniques. It's like, we're like, oh, if we dodge to the beat, that might work, which it kind of felt like it did at first, but then it just totally went to shit. Cause then the song, oh, and then you did have to follow the songs though. Cause like the song would have a buildup and they'd be like, and it's like, oh, once the drop hits, then some big explosion would happen and there's like scattered shots everywhere. And so I also like, I would tell this guy, like, all right, something bad's gonna happen right now. And then boom, the drop would happen.
Yeah.
And then something like we would die or someone would get hit because we didn't avoid it.
There's this one break in the beat. There's a break and then a face came up and it said, you are going to die in like a digitized voice. And then a huge explosion happened and killed us both.
It was
and
sick.
We were both like, whoa. We literally both were like, whoa.
It's like,
it was so well timed.
It's like, I'm not even mad.
Pony.
It's like, I'm not even mad right now.
Yeah. It's a one trick pony because you have to play that song over and over to get it. And you lose that shock value. But that was really well done. That's what I mean. That was a case of a really good song with a very well-designed level.
So this game's about $20. It has its own music that you get to select from?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It might have way more.
Well, it's got a DLC where you can buy more of it, it looks like.
Yeah. I don't know. For $15, because it's on sale for the winter sale, I'm going to return it just because, I don't know. We played it for, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. This is a 20-minute review.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 30 minutes.
It's a one-trick pony, dude. Okay. You're dodging music.
It really is.
That's all there is.
It's like every track lasts a minute, and like in 30 minutes you can try 30 different tracks, and that's pretty much probably the whole game.
That's pretty much every rhythm game, I suppose.
We probably did 15 levels.
Yeah, we probably did half of the game.
Yeah.
It didn't have any sort of like systemic progression where like you.
So we were playing.
Well, we're doing the mountain multiplayer.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, we didn't do story mode. Maybe story mode's fucking fantastic. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's why I'm not saying like don't buy this. If it sounds awesome, try it out.
Yeah. So you're buying co-op games. What was that one that we played at DLG Con that Recycled had where we had to like suction to each other?
I didn't play it with you guys.
What was that one called? Recycled, the game.
He's in chat. Maybe he can tell us. It was like a physics game.
Heave-ho.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, dude. That
was something like out near friends, or
it was kind of like that, but you have to work together and like grab each other's arms and like swing each other and throw each other in weird places, and it's like a obstacle course. It was fun. It was a great like.
That sounds like a great party game.
Yeah, it was good. If you got enough people together, I don't know if there's online. There might be online multiplayer.
So you're making like chains made out of humans.
I've played this game. It's a lot of fun.
Didn't you play with us?
Did you play it?
I think I played it with my boyfriend and his friends.
Oh,
God, that level
and
right there.
It's a lot of fun. I remember that part.
We
played this together, and it was just all about working together and trying to big brain something. Mm-hmm. It's really good. I liked it a lot, especially because just watching your friends die or being the reason why your friends die, it's fun. It's a fun physics
game. This is bought. I'm going to buy this.
How much is this? Oh, it's got a demo for free.
It's on Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. But how much is it on Steam?
I don't know.
Sniper? Any second? No. There we go. So about $6.50?
Yeah.
$7?
Well, it's on sale $5.74 right now.
Canadian, dude.
Canadian, bro.
Dude, if you don't get a VPN.
You don't need a VPN, man. You just get, Steam Stats or Steam, some sort of Steam plugin, augmented Steam.
He can actually just change his setting on Steam, but if he does that, then it takes 2 weeks for you to change your currency again. I've bought games on eBay.
Sneaky, sneaky bastard. You're the one who should be hiding from the government.
All right, so what other game did you get?
We got F1 Race Stars. For some reason, because we were playing... Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going off. Let me say that I played a lot of Mario Kart Live this week. I talked about it last week that we didn't get to play too much. So Mila got two cars. They're $100 each. We got Mario and Luigi. Actually, Santa built it. We didn't pay anything. So you get these little cardboard cutouts and you put them around your house wherever you can. The big letdown, it's great. It pretty much everything about it is good, except for the letdown was that I think that it's Bluetooth because it seems like...
The game says Wi-Fi, dude.
Okay. Well... Yeah, you have to be Wi-Fi connected so you can be...
No, but the game says it uses Wi-Fi. And then I told you I watched the video.
Then why would it lose connection when it goes far away?
I was actually testing my phone, too, see how far the Wi-Fi was fucking up. Like, right now, I have no Wi-Fi because we're in this room, right? But then once I'm inside... The
Wi-Fi's right there.
Oh, then your shit's fucked up.
Oh, you're probably on our old Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you're probably on the old Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I turned off the Wi-Fi. Never mind.
Anyway... if you don't have line of sight with the car, you're going to lose connection. And
But that's not true. Because at my house, it lets me go into the bedroom, and I feel like it's further, like, I go all around the bedroom.
So it's probably just the thickness of the walls here.
I think so.
Okay. I couldn't make the dream track that I wanted to make, and Ray tried it today, too.
Yeah, it didn't work.
And it didn't work, unfortunately, because the dream track would be my kitchen, living room, and
family room.
Other living room, and front entrance are all connected. It's a big donut. So that would have been fucking awesome. So, but it doesn't work. You can't go all the way around. You lose connection. So you have to make pretty small tracks. I would say like a 12-foot track is about right.
I mean, the track I made around the Christmas tree. So I did it from the stairs, past the presents, under the Christmas tree, under the couch, out of the couch, under the dining room tables. You turn around the gallons of water,
yeah,
and then back around the couch, and then under a box. Yeah. And then to the thing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then Mila started cheating, and it pissed me the fuck off.
Oh, yeah, you can cheat. So the game itself is great. The real big selling point here is the camera on the little car, the perspective on that, you know. Like Bobby has said many times, like, some of the best levels is when you're shrunken down and you're playing in a giant thing. And now you're not only are you playing in a giant room, you're playing in your own room.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, you're seeing everything giant.
Is it that nostalgia that we've always had, like, from being kids? Like, you've always wanted to be as tall as your toys, or like you wanted to see from the perspective of your toys, yeah, and now you finally can.
That's basically what it is. Yeah, it's
pretty cool.
It's very cool. And you know, you're looking at your Switch, and it's weird. It's weird because, like, something real is going on, but you're playing a video game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but you can, like, when you crash, you hear your little thing crash too, and that adds to it. When you get caught up on something, you're actually caught. You have to back up. It's a whole new thing. It's my first AR game, and I think
make Jacko's butthole one of the jump obstacles.
I was chasing the cat,
and
I was just staring at his butt the whole time, and I'm like, this is not cool, but it's funny because, like, I cried to the cat, and they'd be like, meow, and then I cried to him again. And, like, the camera was right in his butthole. It was just very awkward, but fun.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, Chee, because pets add a whole new thing. Like, you know, the cats are jumping all over the track because they like to chase things. And so you have to avoid them. And so that's a whole other obstacle that, you know, you can't memorize that track. Mm-mm. It's fucking feet. You know, Mila's running around chasing her car. That's added danger, too. So there's all kinds of shit going on. Another downside, another upside. The downside is you don't have to really follow the track that you laid out. You can kind of cut corners. You could totally cut corners and cheat. As long as you go from
gate
to gate. Doesn't matter how you get there. So when you design your track, you have to keep that in mind, that people are not going to go around the boot. They're going to fucking go straight through or whatever it is, you know, which is Mila. Mila's just cheating nonstop.
Yeah. I didn't get how she was last place, and I'm like, cool. And then all of a sudden she was in front of me, like, really far.
Yeah.
And then she purposely put her foot down. Like,
oh,
so I just crashed into it. And I'm like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Real world bullshit, too. And then one upside that nobody would have thought about is, so Luna is walking now, and all she wants to do all day long is explore. That's her shit. She doesn't want to do anything but walk around the house. Now I have a virtual nanny cam that I can follow her with and not leave the couch. It's fucking great. Like, yeah, it's a mobile nanny cam, because you can put it on explorer mode and just fucking go around and drive around and explore your room. You don't have to race. One last thing that you might not think about, when you do the cups, like the mushroom cup, you play one race and then you play another race, blah, blah, blah. But there's different biomes. So the second one was underwater. So it's AR, but you're now looking at your house underwater because it has you know, like bubbles and fish and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the next one was ice.
That one sucks. The ice one is horrible.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Then there's an ice one, there's a candy one. So you're seeing your own house, but decorated in these different ways. It's fucking great. It's really, really cool. I did bring up with Sam, I was like, how much are we actually? Because the time to set it up is probably like, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then you play for like half an hour. I was like, are we going to get $200 worth of value out of this? Like, I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like maybe if you would grab the garage and use the whole garage.
Yeah.
And make an actual real track and try to cover so no one cheats. That would make it so much better. But it's only one track you do, though. That's it. But I mean, the biome does help change the track, yeah. And it makes it feel different.
And you're racing against AI.
Yeah. Are these waterproof, these devices?
No.
No, the little cars?
Yeah.
Oh, like, can they go through a puddle? If the ground is wet, I think...
Well, I'm just wondering if you throw like a board over a pool. You don't have a pool, but if you had a pool, throw a board over the pool, and that's part of the track there. Of course, you get knocked up. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be cool.
And ramps would be cool, too, but these...
I was trying to do the ramp thing, the ramp to ramp, like a gap. It would just go, plack, just get stuck there. Yeah,
they don't catch much air.
No.
Another cool two little things. They're not very fast. These cars, but when you're looking at your thing, it feels pretty fast. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're going faster than the car, and then
it's pretty funny because like the first time I was looking at it, I'm like, and it's just like, oh, this is awesome, and then I actually looked down and saw it, and it's like,
yeah. So that's a great thing that they did, because you want to be hitting too hard, you know. But the other thing I was going to talk about was, when you get a mushroom, your car actually does speed up. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that they... Let's start them off slow. Mm. Let's start these cars off slow so that we can speed them up at will. And then the other thing is, if you get hit by a red shell or something, it makes your car stop. Mm-hmm. Like, your car stops while you're going, woo, 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 woo. And that's fucking great, man.
I can't wait to see somebody hack these or overclock them. See them, like, whizzing down the street 45 miles an hour. How great would that be?
There's a couple YouTube videos already of people taking them to actual racetracks and trying to like augment the Wi-Fi signal and trying to do all this stuff because they were messing up. Like, people cannot get them to go really far.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, hopefully they'll improve upon it. Maybe they'll have a version 2 next year.
I mean, that's if it picks up, you know what I mean? It's like, it's cool enough to where people that own it right now can say, this is awesome, but then I don't think it's great enough to where they're going to start to improve on them.
Chi, you beat Nightmare Completion on Back for Blood?
So the last episode that I was on, I was just talking about Back for Blood and how there was only a few days left on the Alpha. And one of my goals was to beat it on Nightmare, because already we were talking about how much of a challenge it was on Normal and or Survivor Mode.
Are you liking it?
Oh, I do like it a lot. I love the level of challenge. And of course, it's still alpha. Mm-hmm. I will definitely be picking up this game and enjoying the campaign. I don't know about the versus mode, but at the very least, the campaign has been proven to be challenging enough where it's very rewarding. And you do need the right type of teammates in order to get through the higher difficulties. So the nice thing about me getting to do it on Nightmare is that I honestly did not think it was going to happen, because it took Shroud probably 6 hours to be on Nightmare and being the only survivor in his group. So it's not a very light thing to say. It's not everybody can beat it on Nightmare. So I'm actually really, really glad that I was able to get a group together to beat it on Nightmare, because of how overwhelming of it can be when playing on Nightmare. With Nightmare, one thing I realized is that we moved a lot slower, but we moved a lot more intelligently. This game does have those play cards, so we had to pay attention to that. And then people had to have the right cards in their deck in order to work together and complement other card players. Mm-hmm. I ended up beating it with myself, my little brother, a Left 4 Dead pro, and then also a random that I found on their Discord. I played one Survivor game with a random, and then we re-invited him for the Nightmare edition. And so, oh yeah, looks like he pulled up Shroud's stream where he's playing it, hopefully. Anyways, but it's great. It's a great game. It took me probably 2 hours, but one attempt, and we were on our very last attempt of beating it. When you watch Shroud play this, there are times where they just reset the whole thing because they were in such bad shape near the end. The hardest part for me in beating this in Nightmare was actually how hard it was, helped us a little bit. The random that we had in our group, we had the card bonus where if you get incapped or if you die, you actually heal your teammates 45 HP. And that's like a third of your health. So that random, because he was so, I wouldn't say he was bad because we all virtually beat it together. But because he kept on dying, he healed everyone else out. So having that one person that was like suffering through the whole thing kind of gave us a boost. And more or less, that's kind of a strat in its own. When it comes to the very end of the campaign, there's this giant fairy and two people have to go plant the bomb. And then two people kind of hold the fort with this like endless supply of zombies at the end.
How many levels are there?
And with that, like both me and my little brother were the only survivors. He was the man in charge of the minigun. And then I was in charge of one of the second bomb plant. So it was, and then when I finished it, I was just super hyped up, screenshot, like my hands were shaking. It was one of those game experiences where you could feel your heartbeat through your chest, you know, like, or in your hands almost, because it's so thrilling and so challenging. I'm really proud of myself and the people I played alongside, because my friends that were trying to beat it on Nightmare did not get to beat it on Nightmare. And all of them are really highly respectable FPS players. So it's not a game mode that is easy, even for Shroud, to beat, especially, and it takes a lot of working around what the different strategies with infected and with your teammates to get through it. But once you have these good like cheese elements involved into the game, or good positionings, or if you use, for instance, the pick lock instead of starting the event, every little action really kind of counts. There was one part where everyone was dead and I was the last one, and I was probably one last hit away, and I somehow managed to survive and then got everyone else up. So that was nice that we didn't have to restart. But it's interesting because the one guy that I said, because he was dying so much, he kind of helped out the team. We had three defibs and we all used them on him at one point too in this one run. So it's so that's just my little thing of saying, like, I love the Blood Alpha, and I hope that when they do come back out, more people get to play and experience it, because it is a very rewarding co-op experience, just like the original Left 4 Dead games, where it's different enough and challenging enough where it's not the same game over too. And Bobby and I played together. Did we talk about us playing together or no?
Is the alpha over?
Oh, it's over now. Yeah. It's only 4 days.
Yeah, you guys talked about it right after you played it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, true.
I would hate to be the guy that you guys use as a fucking fruit basket. Like every time everybody's lower, it's like, let's just kill Johnny, fucking shoot him in the head. You're all healed up.
Is there friendly fire?
It just so happened to play out that way. So I would say, like,
how are the shooting mechanics in this game? Like, are they similar? I mean, are we losing Chi?
Yeah, Chi, you're cutting in and out.
Yeah. Oh, is it me?
No, I lost it too.
I can hear Chi.
No, the USB cord runs right down here.
You can hear her?
No, I can't.
Oh.
Can you hear her?
No, all our USB stuff is off.
All right, well, I guess let's jump to something else while we're waiting. Hopefully she can hear that we can't hear.
Can they hear us? Can the chat hear us?
Everybody sounds super far away. She is the only one that sounds good. Someone bumped an ass.
Okay, I hear Chi again.
All right, there we go.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if I was talking the whole time or
you were, but we just
that's okay.
We can, yeah.
The podcast people can listen and hear you. We just couldn't hear you, but we fixed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I was asking you, how's the shooting mechanics in the game? Like similar to what game?
Well, it's Left 4 Dead, but on an Unreal Engine. And the guns in that game are pretty realistic. So what you might expect out of a weapon you use in COD or
nice,
even in Left
4
Dead.
That's cool.
But with,
it's not that like Half-Life Steam Engine shooting. That's kind of like, kind of like.
No. It's definitely more true to natural physics than it is than it was before in the Source Engine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Somebody has this on their our Fantasy League. So we'll see how this does.
Yeah.
It looks good. People have been hyping it up a lot.
Really, really good things. I expect a lot of playtime in this game when it does get launched.
Is it better than that one? That what was that one we played that we were giving G shit about? World War Z?
Yeah, World War
Z. We're like, it's so good, G. You're missing out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely better than World War Z.
I think we played it once and never wanted to touch it again.
Yeah.
Even when it was free, I was like, more people were like, we should try it now. Nah, don't waste your time. Save your hard drive space.
Speaking of games, I definitely did not. Honestly, I've never done a Steam refund except for now. And I did try another 4-player game, Phasmophobia. I think you guys have talked about this on the cast before, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you refund it?
I did refund it because. Wow. So on New Year's Eve, I needed a game that was low budget and then also to play with co-op friends. I have a VR headset, but at the time I did not want to use the VR headset. But I did play Phasmophobia with a couple of my friends. Our mistake was we went in the game without playing the tutorial. So we kind of went in blind and therefore it was comical, but not actually there wasn't much purpose to our actions. We just kind of waited until someone died and then the others just drove off in a car. But then once we played through the tutorial and then played the game, I still felt like a lot of our actions weren't really rewarding at all in a sense. And then when we did find out we didn't find out what ghost it was, and we were playing with someone who was tenured. I don't know how to explain why Phasmophobia. It was a lot of fun, but a really shitty game. And
it is low budget. It's very.
Like, it was a lot of fun, but it was such a shitty game that
What's the point of this game? I've never played it nor watched a stream about it. But some people go, it's fucking great and so much fun, and then I'm hearing you saying it sucks. What's the point of the game? Like, what do you do?
You have to go and identify the type of ghost that it is and get out alive.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, yeah. But it's not easy. It's not just the way that it looks, it's the way it acts and all kinds of different stuff. So you have to kind of like be a detective. You're a detective crew, kind of, and you're trying to figure out what kind of. And it's.
Can you fight the ghost?
Not really. No. Yeah. I don't think you can kill it.
Oh, fuck that.
You're not there to kill it. You're like the team that shows up before the Ghostbusters.
Okay. So they're the ones that when the Ghostbusters come in, like, oh, everyone's fucking dead. Let's find out what's up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm that dead crew. Oh,
yeah. I think it has to be the right conditions for you to have a good time with this. Luckily,
I did have a great time. The funny thing is I had a great time with it.
I still got rid of it.
I actually enjoyed still
returned it.
Later, bitch.
Because the funny thing about the gameplay is, you end up at this house. You're with your friends. Each of you have different equipment, and with the different types of equipment, different uses, you have to kind of be patient and really take your time around the house and work around what you're experiencing so you can uncover the right clues to figure out what you're dealing with. And then when you make mistakes, you get hunted and you die. And that's what I enjoyed the most, just the whole sheer comical element to it. But like the game itself, it was like a, I guess it's like an involved game of almost like Clue in a way.
Yeah.
And I don't see myself playing it beyond my first experience with it. Like it was fun, but because I was playing it with friends, but going in there, they don't necessarily, even with the tutorial, it's not very helpful in terms of making sure your movements aren't necessarily wasted. But then when I finally figured out, okay, this is what we're supposed to do to find the ghost, I wasn't even entertained by the idea of trying to hunt down a ghost at that point.
Gee.
So that's unfortunate. It was fun, but I don't see any replay value to it.
Gee, did you play on Discord?
I did play on Discord, yes, but also in-game voice. There is an option where you have to say the ghost's name.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious because every time we were saying the ghost's name, Charles Martin, my friends would just say, like, don't Charles say Martin, you could take Chi. If you need to, she's in this room. So it was like, it was the people around me that made it funny. But that was fun. I imagine it's even more fun in VR. Like when I would see a ghost kill one of my friends and I would take a picture of it, like that made me laugh so much. But I honestly just don't see myself doing that Going through that again once I got like.
I feel like that's kind of like an Among Us thing, right? Like Among Us is fun when you have that good group of people. Because if not, have you ever played a random Among Us game? It's just not fun when you don't know anybody. That's just So I feel like this is all probably the same thing. Like if you're playing with your homies and you know, and you guys have your own sense of comedy, and like I feel that that would be great, you know, because you guys know each other. And I don't know. I feel like
a lot of room for improv, and it is pretty scary. It is definitely scary.
That JP was on VR, and he said this is terrifying.
Like I kind of feel like that would be really fun, like playing VR and then improvising a lot of shit in the game, and just can you pick up items? Random items?
Yeah, you can pick up.
That's fucking awesome. See, little items. Oh, okay.
Just the items in the truck, I believe.
Okay, so but like little things like that you can do, which would be funny, especially if you're trying to stream this. That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. More than anything, I was constantly getting scared by my own teammates, not really knowing where they
just
were,
running out of doorway.
Yeah, or my teammates locking me in a room. So it really is like half of the fun, like half of the comical. Experiences or just us trolling each other. So hey,
Bobby,
but the game itself, I don't see myself playing again.
That sounds cool.
So Bobby, when we were talking about Ray being on the podcast potentially today, he was like, oh, remember when Bobby like played puzzle games 3 episodes in a row? And I was like, yeah, dude, I totally think that he was trolling us during that time. But now I see Friday the 13th killer puzzle. What is this, Bobby?
This is a great little puzzle game, man. Just a real simple puzzle game. Nothing more than that. So I finally, this last week, I watched Crystal Lake Memories. It's on Shudder. It's a mini series, but they show it in one long movie. So it's like a 6.5-hour documentary on every single Friday the 13th movie. And back in probably around March, I went through and watched all of them. So I was like, okay, of course I got to watch the documentary. Documentary is pretty good.
There's a guy who says repeatedly he doesn't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
You make time for the things that are important. So I watched this and I'm just like, you know what? Like, what was up with that old like Nintendo Friday the 13th game? Ah, that one wasn't very good. Oh, the new one, that was kind of fun. But there's got to be some more Friday the 13th games out there. And then I stumbled across this one. I'm like, this is great. It's a puzzle game. And it's more like a mobile game. So I got it on the phone. I was like, you know, I'd rather play this on PC. I check out Steam and it's free to play. Now it does have a bunch of microtransactions. They're on sale right now. So like for $1, you can get some of the other levels. They have some cosmetic stuffs, which you don't really need. But yeah, Friday the 13th, killer puzzle. It's basically a puzzle game where you're Jason and you move him like a rook on a chessboard. I don't know if you play chess, but the rook only moves in straight lines. Mm-hmm. But he can only move all the way in one straight line. So you have to move and you have to run into an object to stop your movement. And then you can move another way. And you're basically just trying to kill off all these campers or all these people. And it's amazing what you can do with just a simple idea like that with the puzzles. Because then they put in guards where you can only attack them from certain angles and things like that. And I had a good time with it. This is a very simple game. This is probably better on mobile. All you got to do is swipe. And it's so simple and you can play it in short bursts. So it was a really good balance because I'm getting very busy again now. So I just don't have the time to do long gaming sessions. But I noticed that there was another game just like this called Slayaway Camp. It came out before this back in 2016. And it was a paid for game. It's like $5 or something like that, but it's basically the same exact game, except you aren't Jason from Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it sounds like they did well with the first game and then they got the IP. And then
which is really hard to do. I mean, it's been like a pretty contentious legal battle with the rights, which kind of hurt the other game, Friday the 13th, you know, where you hunt the campers. It's a asymmetric multiplayer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's...
It looks good. I would play this.
It was fun, man. I played it too.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it reminds me a little bit of the Go games. Wasn't the like the Lara Croft Go and all that? Wasn't that directional based?
No, very different. Very different. Those ones are great too, and these are great for phones because they're so you can do them in such short bursts. But yeah, and your mom. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but I guess I have to. Like in the first one, the first Friday the 13th movie, Jason isn't the killer; it's his mom. and she gets decapitated. You later see that at the end of the second movie. But her disembodied head is like popping up with all the tool tips and like says it all creepy, like you're a good boy, Jason. Keep killing this and don't forget to press the A button to do that, or you know, like they always do. And then like you hit okay, but then it says like yes, mom or something. So they kind of have fun with the theme, and it totally works. But yeah, I mean, it's just a fun little puzzle game. The microtransaction, like,
not game breaking or anything.
No. Like basically the microtransactions are all cosmetics, like different skins for Jason. Who cares about that? And then there's like maybe five of them that are like extra levels. So you get the levels like 1 through 5
that's
for free.
Legit.
Yeah.
I lost everything. I just redownloaded it and I lost all the, like, it doesn't save my stuff. Yeah.
Are you logged into your Google account or?
Yeah, I'm logged into the iPhone one.
Oh, I lost everything. I don't know how it works on an iPhone, but on Google, you have to sign into Google Games or something. Yeah. So.
You know what really grinds my gears, Bobby? So, you know, I was like, hey guys, I got this new phone. Check out these new pictures because the pictures are fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. I brought it up last week or 2 weeks ago. I got the Samsung Ultra 20 something. It's like the flagship, and it's great. I love it. It's fantastic. I showed Ray the shutter ability with the S Pen. Has a little button on it, and you could use it as a shutter, so you can put the phone wherever you want.
Set your camera up and
click. And then okay. So that's pretty cool. And you know, at work, you using the S Pen to write on pictures, you can really get a lot of, you know, my job site is so huge, and to be specific about things, it's really helpful to write on a picture and be like, is this what you want? Or I need you to do this, whatever it is. So that's really helpful. Yeah. And, so I'm really enjoying it, blah, blah, blah. And then I send my friends a video, and all my friends are on iPhones. And, you know, of course, Apple, lowers the bit rate from outside sources into their
because it gets sent as SMS instead of like the internet data,
right? But so if you send the video from a Android phone
you got to upload it to your Google Drive and then share the link on Google.
I know. But they're talking mad shit that, you know, because iPhone to iPhone they do a higher bit rate and it looks good without taking that extra step.
Well, if you go from like
but it's Apple that does that, it's not my phone that's inferior.
If you go from Android to Android, then I think it automatically, like if I share a video or a picture with my girlfriend that I took, then because we both have Android phones, I think it automatically attaches it as like a Google Photos, like attachment. In Google Photos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically you're not actually sending the picture, you're uploading the picture to Google and then you're sharing the link there. So yeah, and I'm sure Apple has their own thing.
And that's just all that is Apple trying to show its own consumers that, oh, we obviously have the better product because look at the videos for coming in.
If I send you a video from my phone, it'll look like trash on yours, so you can give me the same shit.
It does it? I don't know.
Well, I think if you just do it through mobile anyway, first of all, you're using a lot of data, so that's the reason that they compress it so much.
Right. Yeah, because you're recording in 4K, man. That's a couple gigs.
Yeah, dude, you send like a video.
But you can do it so quick.
Yeah, because you're
with the Google way and get the link. You could do it so quick.
Well, if you're connected to Wi-Fi, because then you can upload it fast. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But, or like mine, I think everything that I take automatically uploads to my Google Photos. But yeah, dude, that's just, I don't think it's because of an Apple Google thing. I think it's just because, well, I don't know how iPhones work. But no, they do that because, dude, you can't send like a 400 meg video just on your cell phone with your cellular data. It's going to take forever and it's going to, it's going to use up all your data. So they compress that.
Either way, my friends make fun of me for being on the Android.
Apple people always do.
That's what really,
what are you talking about? Problems. I thought it's like, I think it's Android people that make fun of people that have Apple.
It's whatever.
Like we have, you know, like Nabi always giving us shit. Cause he's the one that has a Samsung. Like I think he has your phone too. Yeah. And he's like, my phone does this and this Apple fucking sucks. And we're just like, I don't care, dude. I like my phone. And like, There's like a meme where it shows a guy from Grandma's Boy, that nerd guy, and like every Android, you know, owner, and like it shows him, you know, because they're like, mine has this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like Apple does not have any, like my phone has half of the shit your phone does.
Yeah. But they do. I mean, they're great phones.
But they're great phones.
Yeah, they're great phones. if I was going to say one thing about why this phone is so great, besides the quality, like it is a flagship. It's like
how much
the
bigger
best
is
screen. I don't think that much bigger. It's huge. It has the best screen, arguably the best pictures. I mean, it's fucking fantastic. But besides that, it's the options. You can do so many things. That's like bigger. You can customize your interface, everything from the home screen to the where the button is. Everything is, you can really, really customize it all the way down.
Mine has volume up, volume down.
And it works.
You can make phone calls.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can take pictures.
Yeah.
And I can text while I drive. It's really cool. It's
fantastic.
It's super duper.
Yeah. Well, when I switched to the Pixel, because I used Samsung for a while, and I switched to the Pixel, and I noticed like there were some things that you can't change on the home screen. Because my phone is very, very simple. Like I just have one screen on the front, and that's it. Like, I don't swipe to anything else. Everything that I use is just right there.
Oh, you never go to the news feed up to the left? That was one of the best things about
Google. I can do that, and I can get to there with a few clicks, but I try not to because I just see the same shit there, and it's always a bunch of stuff that I don't care about.
I got rid of that news feed because it would keep me drawn to my phone longer than necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I turned mine off on this one.
It's the total slot machine effect. Like you keep like scrolling down, nope, seen it, nope, don't care, nope, nope, next
page. But you can edit it and like, I want more of this and less of that. Which is good. I did turn it off on mine because the Samsung has their proprietary one. It's terrible. Mm. I didn't like it. But like I said, I can go ahead and grab the Google one and put it on my phone.
Yeah, you can get the app or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the big thing for me, I don't know. It's been so long. Like I've had this phone for like 3 years now and it's doing fine. But I don't upgrade phones very often. Like I don't need to just based on my use case. But the big thing for me when I switched from Apple to Android was like I used to have to jailbreak my iPhone to do the things that I wanted to do. Like I really wanted to have apps that I could access right here, and which is what I can do on my phone. Like I have they call it a widget. So I have like my podcast right here. I just hit the play button, my podcast starts playing. My audiobook player right there, like just with one button. I don't have to go into the app and then open and then hit play. Like it's just all on one screen.
So, Bobby, something you might want to look at is the Pixel 4a. It's super cheap, and it's basically your phone with all the bells and whistles of the modern
phone.
Yeah,
I don't need the bells and whistles.
But it's cheap. Yeah. It's cheap as shit.
But you don't.
But it still costs money, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It costs money.
Like I haven't upgraded in 2 years, and I was going to for the new 12 Max Pro.
Yeah.
Apple thing. No,
you are you.
Yeah,
I can't believe you don't have it.
But I didn't. Because
I can't believe you haven't.
No, I'm not going to do it until they don't get rid of the fucking notch, dude. I'm so over this fucking. Do you have a notch?
No, I have a punch hole.
Yeah, see, that sucks too.
Better than that.
Yeah, I guess.
You're talking about the little where it indents on the screen.
Yeah, the notch.
Yeah, that.
Although I have the option.
I don't see where. What do you mean?
Put a notch in.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, that bothers the shit out of me still, and it's been, like, 3 years already.
Yeah.
So you just have a hole where you have a front-facing camera on yours.
Yeah, that one. You see it?
Yeah, I do.
So what was I going to say? Oh, so my favorite phones of all time have been my Pixel 3 XL. That was, like, a fucking monster. I loved it. And this one. Those are my probably two favorites of all time.
My favorite was the BlackBerry Curve. They came out on Nextel. That was the best one because Nextel phones were always shit phones because they were always really just a basic flip phone, no colors. Everyone already had the new Sidekick, the new Razr color with camera, the new this, the new that. Me being Mexican, wanting to communicate with my family or people over the border and not having to pay international fees and all that shit, you use Nextel, which is like Boost Mobile with like the chirp, like boop, boop. So when they came out with the Curve Nextel, it was the first time I saw like a nice, pretty color screen, and it had like a full little keyboard. And you know, you guys remember BlackBerry Curves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they were nice. They were cool phones. But the thing is, I got the Curve with a little ball inside, like the old school version. And everybody had like the Curve flat screen, crazy shit. And Nextel really had like the first model. But like that was like my favorite phone at the time. It was so cool because it was like so innovative for me. Yet I would look over at you, and you had that fucking note already. You know what I mean? It was shitty, but Nextel was the best thing in the world.
I got a new phone this year, too. I'm not going to go into detail about it. I really don't feel like going into detail about it. But for Android users, like if you don't want Samsung or what else to be your only options. I have a OnePlus 8.
Oh, no wonder you don't want to go into details.
I have the OnePlus 8. It's great.
My joke was...
Yeah. Sorry,
I have the. You have the OnePlus 8?
I had one. Well, I was me and Sam were both having issues with it. We took it back. But
issues, really?
Yeah, but...
I haven't had any. I love mine. It's really fast. The customization on it is insane. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, my back case, I bought an Amazon Party LifeProof case, and when I dropped the phone once on the sidewalk, it actually shattered the back of my phone, even though the case was on.
Oh, shit.
So that's not the phone's fault. But the case, unfortunately, is like the only bad thing that I could say about it. It's, it's a third party case. So it wasn't even, that, but it was a, like you could see, I have this like bulky fucking case and I keep it on, obviously not because it protects it anymore, but, just so I don't have to,
just to cover my screen.
You're putting a bulletproof jacket on a corpse.
basically, go, buddy. Even the screen protector on this makes it really hard for my phone to pick up on, I'm a sloppy texter. My fingerprint sensor takes multiple attempts. Like, I wish I could use this phone without a, I'm still in the hunt for a decent protective layer for this phone. But everything keeps on breaking. I've been through 4 different glass screens on this thing. Because those kept on shattering too. Maybe I'm very negligent with my phone.
You think?
I've never seen you with a healthy phone.
Yeah.
I've known you a long time. There's always... And I work at a construction site. I've dropped my phone a whole bunch. You have super bad luck, or when you're really mad, you're throwing shit.
With my phone. That's the thing. It's like I don't hold a lot of value to the phone.
Yeah, I don't. Like, I don't get that. I know people. A lot of people like that. That they have their phone. And they're like, oh, my phone. You know, like they don't care. But you do know you're holding $1,000 fucking computer in the palm of your hand. Would you throw your desktop on the ground? Just kick it?
No.
Gee, on your next phone, just buy the OtterBox.
Yeah, dude.
Buy the OtterBox next time, and you know,
just buy a BlackBerry Curve.
I have an OtterBox for this. One. I did. I bought a LifeProof case.
Oh my gosh.
Buy that Nokia that doesn't break.
Well, I do think it's harder for girls though, because they don't have a lot of clothing with pockets. So girls always do the back pocket thing. Yeah. And I always see that, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's so dangerous.
Pockets.
Like, I see girls always put like a phone in their back pocket, and it's just like precariously, like slowly inching out. I'm just like, oh God, that thing's going to go.
No, but you know, even more dangerous, dude, is the no casers. There's people out there with zero case, man.
Yeah, I have friends that don't, because they like, because my phone doesn't look pretty. No,
it's true. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of thing.
That's what she needs. That blue Nokia right there.
Indestructible.
The indestructible fucking Nokia.
I gotta go pee.
I would totally get one of those. Like, I would downgrade my phone if I just didn't have so much utility for the things that I use on it.
What the hell was that?
That's the sound effect that he plays when I go pee.
Oh.
So CSGO Operation Fang time.
Oh, man. It's like, come on, G, talk about something when I'm not here, because I don't want to hear about it.
What? Bobby was talking still.
Oh.
No. I was just wrapping up.
Okay. Well, I'll just talk about what I have been gaming recently. I wasn't on the holiday cast, and I've yet to listen to it. But holidays have been... How are your guys' holidays, by the way, Ray? Bobby?
Very COVID-y.
Very COVID-y. Did you catch COVID?
No. No, I'm good. No, as in just being my girlfriend and her daughter. That's it. Like, no family, no nothing. Like, just holidays.
Yeah, it was me and the bottom of an alcohol bottle. So,
oh, shit. See, that sounds fun, too.
Christmas and New Year's. So it wasn't really a holiday. I feel like my holidays were hangover days. Like, literally all year I've been drinking, but not to the point where I could get really drunk. But on Christmas and on New Year's Eve, I got so drunk that I was worthless to the world for probably 32 hours straight on afterwards. In between all of those drunken stupors, I would be playing a lot of CSGO. With CSGO, I am a lowly silver two right now.
I've seen you on lately. Like, I've played a couple times with Navi, but whenever you're, I can invite you. You're already in a game, so we haven't been able to invite you.
I'm just solo queuing, trying to get in as much game time as possible because I have these tendencies to go on hiatuses and they don't really serve me at all. I kind of forget how to play the game. I forget call outs. I don't have that competitive mindset when I'm playing the game. So there are so many times where I die or where I don't win a gunfight simply because I'm not in the right mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all like retraining myself into making sure my muscle memory is intact. But with CSGO, I know Operation Fang is brand new, and it's the new pass that's released for $14.99. I have just bought it before this cast started, but I'm going to actually invest more time into Counter-Strike. I wasn't going to buy the pass because previously, in the past, the passes were more or less for very minor rewards, improving your metal in game, getting box drops and more like aesthetic stuff.
Yeah.
But then this time it's very different. You actually have not just emissions, but there are actual skins you can get for playable characters now in CS, which is pretty cool. You could be a female character. Mm-hmm. You could be the condom guy who's literally wearing like a sock over his head. The condom guy, okay. They call him the condom guy.
I heard you right there.
Terrorist, yeah. There's a terrorist that looks, I think he has like the stocking over his face, but it just looks like it only covers half his face. So it looks like he put a condom over his head. And like seeing these new skins in game actually makes it a little bit more intriguing. I could care less what, you can't see yourself, so I could care less what I look like, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, just see what you can unlock. I will be talking more about Operation Fang because there's this new competitive mode called Premier, which actually does a much better job of tracking your stats. And there's actually a very similar to MOBA gameplay where you veto certain maps.
Oh, really?
You veto certain maps. So you have this lobby and you veto the maps before you play it. And apparently there's no KDR in the game. It's just they just show you your kills, assists, and damage. So so I guess there's less
emphasis on how much you die.
Emphasis on losing or deaths. Because when I think about it, I see how that makes sense in a competitive scene because deaths don't really mean anything except to harass another player over it. Because each per round, you have a role to play. And if you don't, and if you die in that role, that you're still kind of doing your job, right? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. there's more to, playing as a team in Counter-Strike and winning the game, getting the 16 rounds over just what your KDR is.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah, that's totally bad, true.
A lot of people don't like that because they just want to see their, they want to see their KDR, but I see why they did that. Yeah.
But I mean, like when you're playing CSGO, there's times where like, you know, I've had some of my friends go like, oh, Ray, like, why aren't you that high in the leaderboard right now? You suck. Oh, you suck now. And I'm like, bro, I'm playing this part of the map and no one's ever coming this way. So I get very little like amount of kills. It's like, and I might not die there, but it's like, it doesn't mean I suck. It just means that I'm playing my position. Yeah. People haven't come that way. And if I died, it was during like a big team battle or something. And like, you know, doesn't mean shit. So I like that. I like that they added that.
Not just that, but
and like, here's the thing. I've seen people who play shooters well and they have good KDR, but their game sense makes me want to pull my hair out. Because as I've been queuing silver, as I've been queuing with friends in silver, I don't have the best KDR in the team, but I do feel very strongly about my game sense in the game. And so when I'm calling out someone who has a great KDR, but does something really, really dumb, like for instance, I was playing Nuke and the bomb was planted in B and I even called that the bomb was going B and everyone else was saying the bomb was planted B. And then one of my teammates who had a good KDR was just fucking around in A, not even realizing the bomb was in B. I'm like, dude, you know, it's like, so it's like one of those things where it's like, are you listening to us? Are you playing the game at all the right way? It's like, so I like that they did that. I understand why people would be frustrated that it's not there. But overall, it's a team-based game. So your personal KDR doesn't say so much on like what you need to do collectively.
Yeah.
Not just that, too. Like, if... let's say it's one play, one round, and you distract two people for 15 seconds and you die and didn't even get a hit on them. You did your job, and there's no way to quantify what you added. Like, now your team had enough time to plant the bomb, but you're not going to get kudos from anybody. Maybe somebody would record, but yeah, there's no way to put, oh, he distract points. There's no such thing. Right.
Yeah, there's really, that's why like it's important to have, you know, to play. I like playing with my friends because they have a sound understanding of my playability in games, and they don't give me shit about my KDR. They rarely ever do, because I do contribute appropriate comms and everything else when I do play. So it makes me a little bit more of a valuable player, because I'm more of a team player than I am, you know.
Like, she gets mad when she plays with us, because sometimes we're just fucking around and she wants to take it serious. Like, some of that shit was gold. And then she gets mad at us, and she's like, I don't give a fuck. And then she just fucks around too. And then we're like, all right, let's try now. Like, on purpose.
And CS has changed a lot too. I could go into further detail, but I feel like this will be a reoccurring theme, me talking about Counter-Strike, because they've tweaked a lot of the maps. There's pinging in the game now. We have this new Operation Pass that I just am scratching the surface on. I am really excited about, and this will be a talking point later when we talk about the Steam Awards, because this is, it won the Labor of Love Award for a good reason. It is a good year for CSGO players, because right now it is building an environment for growth again. And me being in the rank that I am, I'll be able to actually see progressively how much better I get at the game. And this is my argument when people are asking me why I'm not playing another game or why I should play another game.
Yeah.
It's because I can come back to CS, know what to expect from the game, see where I'm lacking, see where I want to grow, and actually feel the progression. Whereas with all the other games I've played, including single player, if enough time has passed by and I try to go back into the game, there's such a severe learning curve that I don't get the original enjoyment from the game, because I'm like, for instance, Apex, I'll go back and it's such a new game, I'm not enjoying it because I'm just relearning it. Mm-hmm. With Counter-Strike, I'm still playing it to my fullest ability, but there's enough newness that that makes me actually see where, if I'm improving or if I'm not, or what I need to do to improve. And there's so much content that I will never ever actually be happy with where I'm at CS. Yeah. It's a game where I perpetually will always get better, and it will show me if I'm getting better or not.
Cool.
But yeah, well, so get ready to hear some CS stories, I suppose.
I wonder if all these changes are finally getting implemented, knowing that Source 2 is going to finally get implemented into CSGO, which has been a talk like every year, and it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that might change the game a lot.
I'll give it a go. I'm a forever CSGO player.
I'm actually, it's crazy how Valorant just hasn't been able to take over it. Like, it's still, CSGO has probably played way more than Valorant is.
Well, Valorant is kind of going through that Overwatch equation where they are implementing new heroes, and then it redistributes that learning curve again. And there's a point where for me, I'm tired of this learning curve. I kind of want to know what I'm getting into. Each and every time I play.
Well, that's like a League of Legends thing, right?
Constantly shaking up the meta.
Like, League of Legends keeps doing that. Like, every month you get a new champion, and it adds so much.
Even if they don't add a champion, it's patch notes, it's buffs and nerfs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, League of Legends is so
much fun.
Isn't
it good, though?
Which is good for games. But for me, it's like, this is the one game I know that I will be playing for the rest of my life. There's no ifs, and, or buts.
I'm not picking on you, because I'm totally guilty of this a lot. And I've gone with comfort over new a lot, because I'm like, I'm too lazy to learn, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Because I know I'm going to have fun with this, I don't want to spend the time to learn that, right? Mm-hmm. Even though that might have a better payoff. But it's like, I think it's healthy for us to be learning new things all the time.
That's what I thought about MOBAs. I did not want to play MOBAs. Like, as much as you try to get me into that one MOBA, that like third person shooter one, yeah. or then like I tried playing with Bobby, the Heroes of the Storm one, yeah. and people kept telling me to try, and I was like, no, fuck this. I don't like yeah. this kind of gameplay. And I finally gave League a chance. I spoke about this like last year when I got all excited about it. I fucking love MOBAs yeah. now. It's like I finally gave it a shot, and it was cool.
What I'm trying to get at is I bet that like all those new neurons, pathways that your brain made, I bet that was healthy for your overall health, your brain health.
I don't think in that the long far. Run.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think
because
that
far. Because you have to learn new shit, the dude. The community
is pretty toxic. I played CS for 8 hours straight yesterday. And by the end of the 8 hours, I was just sad. And I got off.
It sounds like
sad.
A great game. I see why you play nonstop, Chief.
It's fun. CSGO is that like guaranteed, like when me and my buddies are also like, God, what do we play? I don't know. CSGO? Fucking CSGO. And we'll jump in, we'll suck the first couple rounds, and then the rest is just fun.
Then you'll hit a high point, and then you'll start sucking.
It's just sucking again. Yeah,
it is also one of those games where you can play with so many different ranges of friends, and no matter what, it's free to play too, but I don't recommend Counter-Strike for everyone at all. Like, it's such a, its learning curve already is huge, but yeah. I'm saying all of this because my learning curve started at 1.5, and that's like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is, and I'm amazed that my learning curve right now is still 20 years like behind too, so it's like, so I'm just trying to grow in a game, and I could see myself being a lot more consistent with CS than any other game I could fathom right now.
That's cool. So I figured out what I can talk about.
Okay,
finally, because I was thinking the whole time like, what can I talk about? Mm-hmm. I've been playing what everyone else is playing. Like, I can't.
PS5. Although I kind of talked about your PS5.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Dope. Mm-hmm. Dope. No. Sorry. Did I interrupt you? No.
No, I think she was.
No, right. Not at all. I'm done. Yeah, okay. I've been babbling about it.
So I know I've told people this already, but like I accidentally bought a 3090. It was totally accidental, I swear to fucking God. To where I thought that's the one, I thought I had a 3080 in my Best Buy cart, and then I just I was doing it so fast in the transaction
to try to
beat the bots.
Yeah.
And I wasn't paying attention. And then I bought it. And then I was like, I just charged $1,600 to my fucking credit card.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, you know what? I'll resell it. I'll be that guy and resell it. Right. I'll just, you know, these aren't really. And then I didn't resell it.
And you would have made a profit, right?
Like $100. They're not like 3090s are not reselling for that much. Okay. It's the 3080s that are reselling for like a shitload. You make money off 3080s. So I was just like, fuck it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out. If I don't like it and I think it's just too much of a fucking investment, I'll return it. Like, because the holiday returns at Best Buy? Fuck it.
Suicide, dude.
It's not a big... I know. I'm keeping it.
Yeah. Once you install it, dude, it's not coming out,
Shit, dude. It's amazing. It's so cool. Like, I have no issues with any game whatsoever, nothing, and it looks awesome. I got a Founders, so it looks cool. I hate that where the cables come out, it's kind of weird, but so I ended up buying a
the Founders.
Yeah, that one.
Oh no,
why?
We've talked to you about this. This is before they've been
optimized. So with the 3090, getting like an EVGA or MSI or whatever, there's not that much of a difference. And they haven't been able to be success. Like, they've been overclocked, but it's like, man, you have to put in so much work for that. When like I feel the Founders is just fine. It's fucking great. And but anyways, I enjoy it. And then I got
Sniper,
this.
Bring up the article why you should never buy a Founders Edition. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I don't want to read that. Oh, no. Take that off. But and then I got a brand new Alienware monitor. That's like 27-inch, 1440p, 240 hertz. All the shit. Which there's a funny story behind what happened, but I don't want to get into it. But looks amazing. HDR 600. Fucking beautiful fucking monitor. So I was like, okay, I can push this shit to the ultra everything. And that's what I did for like a whole week. Like, I got every game that has been told like it's a great game with RTX on. So I finally got to try RTX for the first time, like real RTX. Because you know, you can turn it on with a 1080 or a 20, like, well,
yeah,
and well, with any 28, you know, 20 series graphics card. But I finally have, I'm like, okay, I got the top of the line shit. let's see what this does. I'm fucking excited.
Yeah.
So, like, the first game I tried was Doom.
Okay.
And I put Nightmare Eternal? Settings. Eternal. All the highest settings and everything. 240 hertz.
Yeah.
Constant. Like, fucking at 240 FPS.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Look great. Fucking beautiful. Game's cool. I get it. But it's fucking hard. Then I tried... I tried Control. Have you guys played Control yet?
No. Nobody's played it.
Dude. This is like a sleeper hit.
Yeah, it's a sleeper. Well...
No, not really. Like, I mean, now it's huge probably, right?
It had hype going in.
And then landed, no one played it.
And then nobody played it.
I'll put it this way. The 2 hours that I put into it, because it was one of those where I just put it highest settings just to see how it looked with all the, because like I found that it's a very common game they use for benchmarks. Like they always try to use Control for one of like to just check how
much as
like,
a control.
Yeah, as a control. Ah, but
no, nothing. All right.
No sound effect for that, Sniper. But and I was just going to try just to see it because I was like, I don't want to play this game. I got sucked in for 2 hours. The storyline just had you start off and you're just one girl going through the federal building of Control, which is like, it regulates shit that fucks up the law of physics and stuff that like that fucks with reality. Mm-hmm. So that's that federal government department that does that, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And you walk into this building because you have like an interview, but on your way to go talk to the director's dead. Mm. and it looked like he killed himself with this really crazy like weird looking gun that's alive.
The gun's alive.
Yeah, it's breathing the whole time. And she's storytelling the whole thing as stuff's happening, and it goes in from a normal like running through the building normally, and then it goes into like a dream state, and then you're like, okay, which part's real, which part's not? The levels mutate in a way, kind of like when you're playing Silent Hill. You know, like what I mean? Like it's just like this is like the underground or whatever, like per se. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back and forth. And the way the girl's telling the story is really cool. The physics are fucking awesome. I spent easily 10 to 15 minutes using her force push effect.
Mm-hmm. On different stuff.
On different stuff. I'm running this on a fucking 3090. It just looks amazing. I was like, oh, paper. Boom. And the paper just fucking had its own life. And I would blow other stuff up and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to blow this up. I'm going to see how far this paper keeps floating. And it just had its own life. I thought that was really neat.
It seems like Inception, the game, to me.
Yeah, it has like some weird like Christopher Nolan feel, Tenet feel to it too. Which, if you guys haven't seen Tenet, it's fucking awesome.
I haven't heard of this. Bobby, it seems like something up my alley too. Like
Bobby hated.
How did you not hate? What?
Oh my god! It was like a video game.
I loved it. I thought it was so cool.
We're on a video game podcast, Bobby.
I know.
We like video games.
That's usually not a compliment when you're talking about movies.
but like the story was very cool. It just kept me getting like hooked. And then there was parts where like, is this now real or is this part of her little dream state that she's switching in and out of? And as I was progressing, I started getting abilities and newer powers. And then you start saving people from the actual like building that worked for the department. And it was just fucking fun, man. I was so hooked on it. And I was like, okay, I got to stop this because, you know, I got more RTX titles I got to play. But
fuck this game? This was one of Epic's first original exclusive titles. And everybody was like, fuck Epic. And then finally, 6 months later, because Steam had already lost its Steam.
Yeah. I got it for very cheap because there was the winter sale.
Yeah.
And then
it's only $28 right now.
I got it for like $15 because Epic has that extra coupon that it was an extra. So it was probably like $19 plus the extra $10. So it was like super. I think I paid $89 for it. It was nice. Really cheap. It was, and it's like the game of the year, not game of the year edition, but like the ultimate edition that has all the DLCs and stuff. But from what I played, it had me hooked, man. Like, and it's one of those where like Cyberpunk came out, so it was kind of like, I need to jump between both of them. So I kind of don't.
So what was the other RTX title?
The best one out of all of them.
Minecraft.
Fuck. fucking Minecraft, dude. So fucking beautiful, man. It's just, it just looks amazing.
Those probably has the most room to improve, though, right?
Right. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, you polish the hell out of a turd.
Oh, dude, this is the most beautiful turd I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's
I mean, graphically, it's not known for its graphics. So if you see something pretty in there.
The lighting. They really take advantage. Because, like, you know,
RTX. Can you bring up Minecraft RTX, please?
Yeah.
I've seen some of these.
So Minecraft RTX just got released. It came out 2 weeks ago because it's been in beta for like years.
Okay.
I mean, for a year or something, right? Since it got announced. So it finally came out. It came out on the newest patch.
Just the difference of those two pictures right there.
So, but here's the thing. It's not like it's even though it came out, it's not like you just start up a server and you click on RTX and it works. You have to put in certain plugins that have been created by these Minecraft modders or the ones from actual like NVIDIA that have made these mods to make it possible that actually integrate RTX into it. So you have to actually download one of their like mod packs, like the underwater one, the hillside one, the medieval one, the cyberpunk-ish one. You download those and you can just play their mod they made or use it, start up as a creative mode, and then fuck around with it, which is like that's fine. But I wanted to build every single fucking little square and just see what happened, or just go. I would start digging. I would switch between survival and creative just to see how the different stuff I can do. And it was just beautiful. Like,
because the original game doesn't have any.
I can't hear.
The original game doesn't have like lighting per se. I mean, there's light and dark.
So even like. Even if you grab Minecraft and like, you know how you can YouTube like best Minecraft mods that most look the most realistic. If you look for that video right now, that'll give you the best ones without RTX, of course, like the old school one.
Yeah.
And you put it on and then you look at it. Yeah, it looks cool, but it looks fucking weird. Some of the textures are kind of like, eh. You do it just with RTX on and their actual real mod that makes it look amazing. It's just they look like they're made out of glass, but like a really cool texture behind it. And the lighting just like you'll drop into a cave. And then the moment you just grab a torch, that light and that little aura that comes out of like the, like that little beam that comes out of it looks amazing, dude. And then you end up going through like some like trench or something or like some cavern. And that little bit of light that just seeps in through that little hole looks fucking amazing, and it moves as the sun's moving. You just see it like slowly.
But the downside to all this is that
you need RTX.
No, yeah, but you can't go into your old game.
No, you can't do that.
And RTX is on.
Yeah, that's the crappy part. You can't.
I don't know. Oh, somebody's mad.
You're in trouble.
Even I got scared.
Yeah.
What? I missed something.
Sam came in.
Must be something in chat.
I got yelled at.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go to listener questions.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. And thank you to Hoosier 89 subscribing 10 months. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
man.
Dude.
Almost a year. Also, Nick gifting 5 more subs.
You can't be stopped.
I can, Nick.
Nice. All right. Listener questions. Let's do it. First one's coming from Jerotrom. What's the funniest game you've ever played? And you better say Giants Citizen Kabuto.
Never played that.
I have played that game, and I'm surprised anybody else knows about that game. It's not a very well-known game. I got that game for free when I bought a video card in like 2003.
Oh, you know what that is?
Giant Citizen Kabuto. It's a really weird open world, like action adventure game. You play this, you're on like an alien planet. You have to like retrieve all these parts, and it's a bizarre game, man. And I own it on GOG. Apparently it's on Steam now, but I've gone back and tried to play it again, and it's kind of hard to play through these days. But yeah, dude, Giant Citizen Kabuto. That's a deep cut.
I'm going to say Earthworm Jim. I remember cracking up about The music, the levels, the it's the first time I saw there's a poop level in that thing.
A lot of snot humor. There's a snot boss.
And I was the right age for that, you know?
Yeah. It cracked me up. I got that game for Christmas one year. I was so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Skull Monkeys was, for me, one of the funniest games that I played. That was just really cool. Claymation type side scroller. Funny music, also kind of farts humor. One of the songs was like beans, musical fruit. I was like, you're going through the level, and of course, the age. You're like, oh my god, it's a song about farts. Skull like it was Monkey. Just cool.
I've not heard of that one.
My funniest game, like game where I would be falling off my chair, is Octodad. Octodad is super ridiculous. You play as an octopus and you control his tentacles, and it has to do with a lot of physics. And the game just sets you up. It sets the stage for humor.
Yeah.
Which
you're
I
an
love
octopus,
because
you're trying most, to hide it.
Yeah, you are doing the most simplistic things, like pouring milk into a glass, or just going in the backyard and whipping up a barbecue. And they give you these little tasks, almost like an Untitled Goose Game. You have a checklist, and it like the silliest things happen when you're doing this. So I don't think I've laughed as hard as ever in any video game other than Octodad. And Octodad is a game that you can play, and it's comical, but then it's also there's co-op, so you can laugh with somebody else. And then also on top of that, there's so much room for improv when it comes to that game. So Octodad is hands down my funniest game ever played.
Great theme song, too.
I do have to do an edit. I think Gang Beasts, I've cried laughing at Gang Beasts several times. Like,
there you go, yeah.
I have to pause and ruin everybody else's game because I can't see because all the tears are in my eyes. Mm-hmm. So that's up there, too.
Yeah. You know, a game that I think is hilarious that we all kind of forgot about. I went back and watched some clips of it just to make sure, and I think it still holds up, although there's some language in there that probably wouldn't be very 2021. Bulletstorm. That game came out, and it was kind of a parody of the Gears of War games.
Yeah.
And the general in that is just so over the top. And like the entire dialogue of Bulletstorm, if you just like Google like Bulletstorm funny lines or something, then you just listen to 5 minutes of it, and it's got just like the hilarious, just extremely over the top.
I don't remember the comedy in that. I did remember it being super over the top, though.
Yeah, it's a short game. It's like 5-6 hours. They had like a Redux edition or something a couple years ago, but they were charging way too much. But yeah, Bulletstorm. Still like that one.
I like the subtitles on that picture there.
The what?
Oh, the subtitles on this one.
Shut the fuck up. I'm not even supposed to be in this flashback.
And you've got me killing innocents.
Thank you to Controlled Pears, 14 months.
Yeah, man.
Awesome, man. Haven't seen him in a while. Welcome back. Appreciate it. All right, next question from Hingle McCringleberry. Great name.
I'm so glad that you say it, because I can't read that. Like, it just doesn't compute.
That's a classic
Hingle McCringleberry.
Yeah. Key and Peele sketch. What part of a game have you played through where it made you cringe?
Oof. Anime Stranding.
The
entire thing was so cringy.
Titty games, right?
Yeah, it was bad. But other than that, there's different kinds of cringe, right?
Because
I was at, there was parts in Doom 3 where I had physical like I was cringing physically because of the fear.
But I don't think that's what
that's the same kind of cringe. No, yeah. I want like maybe like the fuck God of War scenes, like the sex scenes or stuff like that, when you're like, oh yeah, you're like, oh, this is fucking stupid. Like,
yeah,
and you're pressing that X in that circle.
I think they're pretty hot. I like the sex.
No, I mean like the original, like God of War 1. Like
they have a quick time sequence for sex scenes in that game.
Yeah, like the beginning of the game, like right off the boat.
Fucking video games.
Yeah, dude, that was like that was cringy.
I guess the gay sex and
a lot of Final Fantasies have some crazy.
They do that.
Like Final Fantasy X has that weird cringy moment when Titus is talking to fucking whatever her name
from Final Nancy Tan is just total cringe, all of her.
Yeah, like a lot of that's very cringe.
I would definitely say from the Fractured Butthole, South Park, there's this one part where you have to go into the strip club and there's a lap dance mini game. And that literally made me want to die inside because you have to basically give like a middle-aged man a lap dance as a little kid. Oh. And that was so fucked up. I was actually
That's fucking hilarious. I still haven't played it.
So angry. Anything that like has any pedophilic,
but that's
cues, like just makes me rage. I mean, so but much.
That's fucking South Park. You
I
know, don't know, like,
dude. I've been watching season four
that
of.
Was so cringe. That really pissed me off when I was playing the game. Like I love South Park, but that like that scene was just like too much.
South Park is fucked. I couldn't stand it. Like wasn't like I just there was an episode where like Cartman puts his dick in Butter's mouth to make him be gay or something like that. You remember? Yeah, and he's like, look how gay he is. Oh, no. Other way around. Cartman took a picture of Butter's penis in his mouth to be like, look, Butter's is so gay, he put his penis in my mouth. And I'm watching this episode and I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Now you're saying Cartman is what you're saying.
Cartman, yeah. What did I say?
You're saying Cartman, right?
Cartman.
Yeah.
You're such a bitch.
You say Carmen, dude.
I say Cartman.
I heard Carmen. No,
three like Cartman.
I say Cartman. Yeah, thank you. Bethesda.
Yeah, I don't know. Cringe, I'm not sure. I'm sure it's happened before, but I can't think of anything. Maybe Shenmue. But,
oh, that's got a lot of cringe. Yes. Yeah,
but I mean,
hello,
it's kind of
mister. You did it.
It's like pretty what the bad. Fuck, dude? Yeah. Shut up, kid.
But that's kind of become funny over the ages. Like we've all kind of accepted it as a joke because a lot of those old Japanese games, the translations were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question. Sheer Ponage asks, "What game have you started several times but never completed?" I made a few notes because I want to remember these, but for me, the longest time, it was always Half-Life 2. I kept losing my saves. I played through the first half of that game probably three or four times till I finally beat it. I finally beat Half-Life 2 like maybe 5 years ago, but that one's finally checked off the list, and now the game that I just can't seem to finish is Doom 3. Again, keep losing the saves. Mm. They have that new BFG edition, and I think like the saves are not compatible, so when I switched to that, like it messed up my saves, so now I got to restart it. A couple years ago, I was like, all right, I'm going to do it, and I played like 80% of the way through, and then that's when the whole mismatch happened with the save files. So yeah, I have not beat Doom 3 yet.
I'm gonna go along with your Half-Life statement. If there's any series that I don't beat 90% of my games, single player games that I play, but if there's any game that I regret not beating, it's the Half-Life series. I need to set myself up to complete every single Half-Life game, including Alyx, from beginning to end. I think that would be like that would be. I'm sorry. No, I have not beat any of them, but I did play the crap out of them. Mm-hmm. But I never made it to the end.
Well, Black Mesa is a perfect way to replay the first one.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
I beat the Portal games, but I didn't because, of course, they're so short. But I did not beat the Half-Life games. It's just me and single-player games. It's so hard for me to make it all the way through the end. So when I do actually beat one, you know it's a good game. And Half-Life is a great game. I just always get... If I'm at the computer, I probably get distracted by multiplayer games before I could beat a single-player game. So
before I...
But no, I need to finish every single one of them.
Before I finally finished The Witcher 3 and it became my favorite game of all time, it would have been The Witcher 3 because it had like three or four times that I tried that. But now I would say Doom Eternal. I've probably tried three, four times, and it's just sitting there.
It's a long game.
I'll finish it.
It's like twice as long as the first Doom.
Yeah.
I can't think of any. Every game.
Every game ever.
Every game ever. Yeah. If it has multiplayer, I'll just jump straight into the multiplayer and stop playing single player. Yeah. And when it comes to single player games, it has to be like Final Fantasies, I'll always finish. Metal Gears, I always tend to finish. Like, there's a certain group of games that it comes out, I will beat it till the end, and period. If it's a brand new game that just came out, it might be kind of good. Yeah, I'm never going to finish it, but I will own it, though. I will own it.
Yeah, I feel like unless you're an RPG, you've got to be 6 hours long. What's that, Chi?
Yeah, with Final Fantasy, it's odd how I'll get to the last boss or even the last dungeon in Final Fantasy games or similar RPGs and not beat the game.
Because
something distracts me. And then by the time I get back, I don't want to, I forget everything that led me up to that point, and I don't even want to beat the game anymore. So that's kind of been...
That happened to me with Final Fantasy IX. Like, my save is at the boss, at like the last boss of Final Fantasy IX. And I remember getting there, and I was like, I'm not going to beat it yet. I need to find, there's still some side quests I haven't done. So I had to go back and do side quests, and something happened. I think it was probably the transition between the PS1 to the PS2, and I started playing other games, like The Bouncer or whatever, were like the first games that came out for the PS2. And I never came back to it. And then one day I was like, oh, let me finish this. And I was like, wait, what the fuck was this game about?
Yeah.
And that was
That's my problem with Doom Eternal, like, man.
With Breath of the Wild, I could go back and finish it right now. But the thing is, I got so much enjoyment out of that game, I don't want to finish it. But then it has already tapered off for me. So I'm not getting as much enjoyment with my actions in that game. So it's almost like I'm saving that finish the game moment for when I am ready to just like reinvest what I initially did in the front end to make the end, like make whatever ending I get really it's weight and worth, I suppose, because some endings just aren't worth it.
It's my thing with Doom Eternal. I forget how to play that game because it's so original the way you have to play that game, especially on the difficulty, higher difficulties. It's really an inventory management game that you're playing while playing an action game, and you forget how to do that. And I feel like I fucking suck every time I go back into it. And it's a shitty play because I'm not at the first level, but mentally I'm at the first level again. You know what I mean? But
Another question from Gerotrom. Not sure if it's been said yet, but Monster Terrain is on Game Pass. Have you played it, Bobby? No, I have not played it yet. We mentioned it at the end of our conversation. We kind of found out while we were talking about it last week that it was on Game Pass. My Game Pass subscription has expired, but Emilio has it on Steam, so I could always play it off of that. That's a game I will definitely play at some point. I'm a little overloaded with games right now, but I was last week I was definitely sold on Monster Terrain.
It's a card game?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Really?
Next question from Kurt the Ape. What games released in 2020 did you miss but plan to play in the near future? And we're actually going to skip this question for now because that's very close to one of our categories for next week for our Game of the Year episode. Remember to go to Discord and put in your Game of the Year if you want it to be read on next week's episode. Okay, Hogglefosh. A lot of questions this week. Hogglefosh asks, how do you think that your individual podcasting style has changed through the years? If there is a change, do you consider it a reflection of your personal growth or some other reason?
I was very self-critical for the first like two and a half years. I was really critical of me saying all the time. And there we go. And just really trying to be perfect. And it would make it worse because I was up in my own head about what was I going to say and how was I going to say it and all that stuff. And eventually I was just like, I'm just going to be myself and just talk. And however that comes out, because if you try to make everybody happy, you're not going to make anybody happy. And that's what ended up happening. You know, because when I get up in my own head, then I'm not speaking naturally and I make even worse sense than if I was speaking naturally. So there's that. And then for a while there was a few episodes where I got way too drunk. Like one year I would say I got way too drunk. Like
I don't know what that means.
How many times? Like 5 times probably. And then I got really self-conscious about that. And then now I kind of felt I'm a good balance. Like I still get too buzzed sometimes, but it's like not like when it used to be. Right, Bobby? I used to get way too drunk.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I should have been self-conscious of getting way too drunk when I was on the podcast. But I just gave zero fucks. And I think that's what...
Your birthday episode or whatever? It was the last episode?
The last episode. Dude, no, man. The White Claw Challenge one. 12.
Pretty sure you sucked Bobby's dick on that one.
Maybe. I don't remember. I was covered in oil.
Yeah.
But it's you know, because like I was on here for a year and some, and... I started off and it was just horrible. Like, and I think it maybe improved like a point by the end. But once you get that comfort level, it's just, then you're fine. You stop with the you stop, you know, you stop thinking, trying to think so much to be like, I need to be like how you were saying, I want to be perfect. I want to say, like, I want to articulate perfectly and I want to do all these things. Once you stop giving a fuck about that, then you start feeling fine. Then it becomes very fluent and you learn. And then not only that, you get to learn the people you're working with. So that helps out so much too.
Bobby's on the opposite side of the spectrum. I feel like Bobby's like trying to achieve perfection all the time.
I mean, not perfection, but I am always trying to get a little improve. Bit better at doing this. I feel like I have. Yeah. I feel like we all have. You know, you practice it a lot. I mean, not even just being able to speak clearly about a subject and speak interesting about something, but also we've been playing a lot of games. I've played so many games because of this podcast. I think the last time I counted, I was on track to play like 100 new games, obviously not newly released, but like games that I hadn't played before. I probably play about 100 a year.
We're talking like 20 times what we usually would have played.
And most listeners too. Like I just like the breadth of knowledge that we have about games is just immense. So I that also skews our appreciation of the game sometimes.
Yeah, like it does.
And you know, that may not be fair, but also it's, you kind of become a little more knowledgeable and able to understand like a lot more about gaming in general. And I guess the industry too. Yeah. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But it's like I got that comfort level here to the point where I can just talk and just keep talking and we can all work together.
Now you have your own podcast.
But that's the thing. So when I started my own podcast, which has been on hiatus for like 2 months, because one my co-host, he got a job and on the weekends we can't record anything. So we're trying to make it work. So it's been like 2 months we haven't had, like, released an episode. But it's called Upload Culture. It's on Spotify and Apple. So you can just check it out. You can listen to the old episodes. We have like what 50 listeners right now, so it's not that much. But people have loved it. It's like a pop culture podcast. But it got very political for one point because just Trump and a lot of stuff's been happening in the government and COVID. Like, we'll have our episode when we're talking about like this video game, this movie, Britney Spears, but then we always come back to like something in politics because it's so huge right now in our world. So it's kind of impossible to just push that aside. But see, when I started there, my comfort totally went away because now it's my baby. You know what I mean? It's like, it's something that I'm starting with my friend Jose and my friend Diego. And now, when I'm here, if I fuck up, it's on Emilio or Bobby. So when I'm like, when I was doing my own thing, I got nervous again. I didn't know, but the first episodes, I was horrible. I was like, my jokes were off. Like, because like our the point of that podcast is strictly comedy. We just want to be funny and say some fucked up shit. All the fucked up shit that I wish I could say here sometimes, which I don't. Like, I was like, I'm going to just do it here with, like, all genres, you know, and just up, like, any pop culture shit. But at first, it was hard. It was so hard. It wasn't until, like, 2 months in, like, it wasn't until, like, episode 8 where I was just like, I can talk. I can be myself. I can try to be funny again. And then I was able to work with Sapo because, like, as much as he's been my friend for years, we've never worked together in that, you know, in that way. So it took a while. And then Diego was like our Robin, where like he just kind of moderates us and he goes, "Hooray, you're too far," you know. Yeah. But it takes you change so much, but it depends on the podcast. It depends if how much it matters to you.
Dynamic too.
Exactly, the dynamic with your crew. It's like, I feel that for me, for that second podcast, it took me a while also because I did not know my friends in a podcast sense.
Dude, think about this. Like, think about your best friend and how much you've spoken to that person. Me and Bobby have spoken to each other 100 times what you've spoken to your best friend in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure. For sure. Like, we are masters at talking to each other. Me and Chad were already masters at talking to each other going in to the podcast. So we had a natural... People always thought that we were arguing, but that's just the way we talked. But there's a culture between me and Bobby. There's a culture between me and Ray that, like, this is how I talk with Ray. This is how I talk with Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And for and funny enough, Bobby and I don't have an we don't talk outside of the podcast. So, like, I don't even know how to talk to him.
I still don't know how to talk
text
to Bobby.
Text doesn't work. So sometimes I send pictures.
Binary code, bro. Yeah.
And my response to this will be very short and simple. I had so much to improve on, and I continue to every single time. When I was actively working to improve, I feel like I was able to recognize where I was able to talk over people less, or actually talk like I'm in a cast, in a podcast, and not a Twitch stream. I think a big part of me was taking out my streamer side from my casting side.
Yes.
And just learning how to
like
pace.
I feel like you've changed so much from when, like, because you were on the podcast way before me. And then, but I saw so much growth and so much difference from when, like, we started together to, like, the last episode I was with you. And, like, till right now that I'm just, like, you know, just on this one for funsies, like, I see the difference, like, huge difference. That's pretty cool.
Thank you. I would definitely say, like, when I'm actively looking to improve or trying to change, I think I recognize and I can, like, sense it more. But I'm glad that, like, from those moments of pure effort in looking to change have, it appears like it's kind of transcended or through time. You know, it's not like I unlearned or it completely unraveled. I definitely have my moments, but I think overall it's like me building upon that strength.
Bobby called that of
more patience.
Bobby called it a long time ago. He's like, she's just being a streamer on a podcast that's communal, so that's why it's not working. And then we brought it up, and yeah, you've been working on it since. Next?
All right. Second to last question. So many of these. Warconius asks, what did you think of the Steam winners 2020?
Did we go through them?
No, we haven't. I don't know if you guys have looked at them, but basically Red Dead Redemption won a lot of things. Oh, I forgot. I don't have to do that anymore.
How did it win?
So this is people on Steam vote for these. This is kind of like a community choice award. So the only one that I cared about really was the Fun or Better with Friends, because Deep Rock Galactic was in the running for that one. It did not win. It lost to Fallout, but I'm okay with that too. Basically, okay, every game that you figured would win did win. Just the most popular games, the ones that were most bought, the ones that were most played, like in every category, that's who won. So Red Dead Redemption, I think, won in two categories. Fallout won. Fall Guys won. Counter-Strike, Labor of Love. Yeah, it's pretty much everything you would expect. Death Stranding for most innovative gameplay. I mean, now, a week later, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with these. I am kind of bummed about Deep Rock, but this really does feel like a reflection of the community here.
Oh, Ghost Runner games you best suck at. Ghost Runner is such a hard game. It's fun.
What else? Where are we at?
I'm surprised Sims 4 won something after just being such an old game.
Yeah. You
figure people would be a little bit more creative with their
There's a
choices.
Huge community behind that, though. A lot of...
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people play that game. All right, last question from Tag Loro. With the rise of Unreal Engine being used for TV and film production, like The Mandalorian, I've been wondering if tie-in games will be able to make use of the actual environments from a show, like allow new types of behind the scenes content and who knows what else.
I mean, that'd be sweet. And
have you seen how they do the Mandalorian?
No.
Oh man, they have like they use the Unreal Engine to create all the fucking background. Uh-huh. So they can be in a studio, but it makes you think like they're like on like some fucking deserted fucking desert or whatever.
So they're never
deserted
on
desert. There you go.
They're never on desert.
No, it's like, yeah, sometimes they are on location, sometimes they're not.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, here's his actual question. It was just a prelude to it. What types of new ideas or content would excite you in terms of a synthesis of a film/game production?
I bring it up all the time. Well, I've brought it up before, but there was that MMO that came out at the same time as the video game on sci-fi. There was a sci-fi show at Deliverance or Defiance, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that, dude, for that to have come up and actually worked would have been almost impossible. But that somebody took a shot at it, That's fucking great. Now, with what you're saying, that some of the same software is being used, now it's even easier to make that jump. You could actually use scenes from the show that's coming out. Yeah, it should be done. And I'm not saying it's going to be a huge thing, but whoever's into the show might try out the video game and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like an ecosystem.
Nah, I keep my shit separate. I want to watch my shows and play my games.
Weird, dude.
Really? Yeah. For me, it's going to be more on the esports side. Dota 2 has already done it, and I would love to see this in other competitive titles. But Dota 2 made a different perspective level on the map, and you could actually watch in VR. So when you're watching these competitive games, you're spectating from a whole different casting view than you would from top down, what the players see. It's not one fixed scene. It's more like you're in the actual battle. You're watching from the bushes or the trees, and especially with that VR element to it too. I'm not sure. I haven't done it myself, but I've seen it. And it's just really, really cool how you are looking at a competitive match, but more like a... from a different spectator's view.
You can do a tabletop perspective and look like you're looking down at like a Monopoly board or like Warhammer 40K, or you could like fly down into the trees and watch it like right there. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
That seems mm-hmm. cool, but I don't know if you'd ever want to do that because the whole thing with the MOBA is getting that aerial view of the battlefield
mm-hmm.
and knowing where everybody's at.
You could also watch it in like, you could watch replays, right?
No.
Go to that crazy battle, you know, and be there in first person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's great.
I think that would be a lot of fun. If they just have a different way to kind of maneuver through these different action shots instead of just like when you watch Counter-Strike 2, especially, it's a lot of top down. Every now and then they'll go into first person, and it's really hard to kind of keep up with how quickly they're changing it. Whereas if they had like a whole new integration of cinematic or spectator mode where you could almost even control the angles or from whom, and from which person you would want to see and watch the whole time or partially rather than have multiple streams up in order to watch different points of view.
Bobby?
I don't know. I don't know if I really have an answer to this, but I do think it's kind of interesting that they're using things like Unreal Engine and film production, because if they do that, can they just pull the assets out of that and put them into a game? Like, and what does that really do? I mean, it makes the video game look more authentic, I suppose, which could be cool.
Well, you're also saving money by not having to remake all of that.
You have to, though, don't you?
I'm sure there would be some work involved. I don't know. I don't make video
work,
games.
But not like building from
maybe
scratch.
Maybe not as much.
To be honest, I really didn't understand the question.
And on that note, what do you guys play next week? I got to play Black Mesa.
Okay.
You have to play.
Yeah, I should play Hades. I'm going to be very busy, so like short stuff. I'll probably check out Hades and some of the other stuff that people are saying are their favorite games of the year.
Yeah.
So we just downloaded Sea of Thieves again, all my buddies. So, because they're doing that 3 month again for $1 Game Pass.
Yeah.
So everyone just did it last week. So we all downloaded Sea of Thieves.
Bobby, you're probably eligible.
So we're all playing Sea of Thieves.
You have $1, Bobby?
So yeah, we're playing Sea of Thieves this week.
Gee.
Yeah, as mentioned earlier, I definitely will be playing a lot of Counter-Strike, the Operation Fang. I might throw in one different title, maybe even Hades, with the Game of the Year episode coming up. But my focus will be playing Counter-Strike again.
I'm going to buy Hades today. Fuck it.
Cool.
Steam sale's almost over. Better do it soon.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
All right, speaking for Chi, Bobby, Ray, and myself. I
forgot my name, bitch.
Medusa's titties, guys. Bye-bye. That's from Hades. The adults are like trying to deal with the fucking children.